Man, do take a seat. Lottie, do you want to sit there, or do you want to come and so you can see the pictures and things on screen? And Tessa's going to bring us our reading.
The reading today is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Tessa. Well, we've been thinking over the last few weeks about the five marks of mission. I think there's a slide which will look familiar. There we are, the five marks of mission: tell, teach, tend, transform, and treasure. And so I thought today it would maybe be a moment to think about the mission field, the field into which we are called. So where is our mission field? Well, you'll all be familiar with Matthew 28, verse 19, the Great Commission. And Jesus says to his disciples, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So that's our mission field, the world. It may seem a little ambitious to us sitting here in Mark's Tay to think that we've got to go out and make disciples of the whole world, but it's all right because there are a lot of other people out there doing the same thing. There is a church, I can't remember where it is, that they have a sign over the door as you're leaving, and it says, "To the mission field." It's rather a nice idea. There's a sense that we come to church on a Sunday to pick up our seed, as it were, and then we go out into our community to sow it during the week. But it strikes me that it's not just out there that we need to be practicing these five marks of mission. We need to practice them in here as well. We need to tell each other, we need to teach each other, we need to tend each other, we need to build each other up. So mission isn't purely out there. Yes, a lot of it is out there, but it's in here as well. It's within our Christian community, our church community as well. And so who do we mix with out there? You know, in here we know who we all are and we all share a belief. But out in our communities there are people who don't share our beliefs. People who we come into day to day as we go about our business, be it at work or shopping, whatever it may be. And how do we relate to those people? They can be a bit more challenging, can't they, than some of our Christian brothers and sisters. They don't agree with what we believe necessarily, and they can challenge us. It can be a bit uncomfortable. But we need to be out there. We need to relish that discomfort, that sense of challenge, because that helps us to keep thinking about what we're doing, to keep pushing our boundaries. And if we only ever socialise or mix with Christians, then we're not going to be obeying that great commission, are we? To go out and make disciples of all people. So what does our mission field look like, and what's our part in it? Well, the parable seems to be quite black and white, doesn't it? The field is the world, and there are wheat and there are tares. But I can't help feeling that that's maybe a little simplistic, because I think there are other sort of shades out there as well. Speaking to an agrarian society, Jesus was picking up on things that they would understand, that for a farmer, the importance is the quality of his crop. But if he's got weeds in there, then his crop is devalued. We've got a picture there of wheat and tares, and they look quite similar. And that was part of the reason why the farmers wouldn't go out and pluck the tares while the wheat was still growing, because it's only when the ears appear quite late in the day that you can really tell the difference between the two. And the tares, they produce, instead of fat, golden ears, they produce little skinny ones that have inside them a black seed, which is actually poisonous. The commentaries all say that they think it's that the tares are a thing called bearded darnel, which is a type of, it's a Eurasian grass, but very different, very difficult to tell apart from the wheat. The thing I love about one of the things I get quite excited about with this parable, though, is verse 24, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like this." That's how he starts the parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. And then later on in verse 38, when he's explaining it to the disciples, he says, "The field is the world." So we are living in the world. We are living in the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that a fabulous thought? And I know that in the Lord's Prayer we say, "Thy kingdom come." So the kingdom isn't here yet, but we're here in readiness for it. I think that's a fabulous thought. And I know I can get really excited about that. I think that's wonderful. It's coming, and it's coming here. Not just in this building, but it's coming to Mark's Day. Fabulous. Jesus says, "The tares are sown by the devil." So there are people out there who are sown by the devil. They're put there to make us doubt, to try and turn us from God, to try and distract us. We know that they're out there, and we need to be aware of it. And the thing is that no matter how much we evangelize, how much we proclaim our faith, how much we tell them about what we believe, there are people out there who will not be turned. Who will not be turned. A tare cannot become wheat. It will only ever detract from the value of the crop that God is growing. What a tare will do, though, and this is what Jesus was indicating, the roots of the tares will intermingle with the roots of the wheat. So if you go and try and pull the tares up, it will pull wheat up with it. So the tares can literally choke the good crop. So again, something that we need to be aware of, and that's where we come back to the need for nurture and teaching and practicing and being in community with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But it's all right, because we don't have to discern who the tares are. Verses 29 and 30, and then again in verse 39, Jesus says that God knows the difference. He can spot the difference. He can separate them out. So we don't have to worry about it. So you can live next door to a tare as a stalk of corn, stalk of wheat. You can live next door to a tare, and you needn't worry about it. You need to keep practicing your faith, keep learning, keep telling them about it. And at the end of the age, God will sort the one from the other. But as I say, I think there are things other than just wheat and tares out there. If I think about my mission field, it looks much more like this. I don't know about your mission field. There are so many wonderful people out there, different beliefs, different creeds, different levels of belief, different depths of faith. But together they make up a beautiful field. And those are the people who we need to be talking to. The people who will listen. But we're not going to know who's going to listen until we actually talk to them. And we need, as I say, that variety of people if we are to fulfill Jesus' great commission for us. I don't know about you, but I think that is a rather beautiful mission field, if that is how you see your mission field. And so what is our job in our respective mission field? What type of a farmer or gardener are you? If we could go back to the slide with the thank you, that's it, perfect. Those are the marks of mission. And I think we don't have to all do all parts of it. I think we can allow ourselves to do one or two parts of it if that is where we feel comfortable. I'm full of admiration for people who will just meet a stranger in the street and will stop them and tell them the word of God. There's a friend of my parents, actually, who has become a friend of Tatis and mine, a guy called Johnny Wright, who has been here on occasion. He is larger than life, and he was coming down to speak to a men's breakfast here one Saturday, and he got in his car and was following me down the lane from our house to here. And I got to the end of the lane, and Johnny just wasn't there. He disappeared. And bearing in mind that our lane is half a mile long and has no turnings off it, I was slightly perplexed. So I waited a couple of minutes, and then he appeared. And we drove on and parked up, and as we were walking from the car park down to the church here, he said, "Sorry about that, but there were two ladies walking a dog on the lane, and I just felt I had to stop and talk to them." And he had stopped these two ladies as they were taking their dog for a Saturday morning walk and was telling them about the message, God's gospel, God's love for them. That is so alien to me. I just can't conceive myself doing it. And if God said to me, "I want you to go and talk to that person now, please," I think I might actually sort of curl up and shrivel with embarrassment. And I hope I wouldn't, but I think that would be my natural instinct. So I'm not particularly someone who is going to tell. I'm full of admiration for those who do, and we have people in the church who do. Someone like Peter Strode, who is called to mission, and he goes and he knocks on doors. He went to Wembley the other day, I think, and was on a part of a welcoming commission. Was that right? A welcoming team for an evangelistic event at Wembley. Again, that just sort of makes my toes curl. But that's his calling, and that's brilliant, because if he's doing it, I don't have to. Maybe I do have to a little bit, but he's out there doing it. There are people who are called to teach. There are people who are called to tend, to mentor, to come alongside, to encourage. There are many Christians who are great activists, trying to stamp out injustice, things like that. And there are people who are great ecologists, who want to look after God's earth. And so that, I think, is our challenge today, is to work out which of these things is our part in the mission field. So that's really something for us to all take away and think about. And the crucial thing is having decided which of those things is our particular sphere, is to make sure that we do it. If we continue the gardening analogy, though, we all need to practice. We need to keep on doing it. We need to learn more about what we're doing. If you're a gardener, when you've finished pruning your roses or whatever it is, what do you do with your secateurs? You sharpen them, you oil them, and you put them back in the right place, ready for the next time. We need to keep our tools, as it were, our tools of mission ready, and we need to know where they are, and we need to be ready to bring them out at the right moment. But the fundamental question, I think, and I've asked it here or used it here on other occasions, are we doing what we're called to do? The analogy is that if you were had up in court and the charge against you was that you were a Christian, would there be sufficient evidence based on your part in the mission field and how you do it? Would there be sufficient evidence in that court for you to be convicted? Would you be found guilty of being a Christian based on what I am doing in the mission field? So I'll leave you with that thought. Work out which of those five things is your preferred area. Are there any areas that you could perhaps look to move into? And are you actually practicing them? Amen.